Welcome to Powell the Songs, a look into Powell gatherings in Minnesota, their historical and traditional significance, and the integral role of the drums, the singers, and their songs. And here's your host, Terry Goodsky.
All right. Hello there. My name is Terry Goodsky. I'm sitting here with Calvin Ottertail. We're currently right now at Boys Fort Midwinter Powell 2014. Here at the RTG building. And we're in one of the meeting rooms. Paula's kind of in the background. I'm here with one of my peers, as I say, one of the people that I look up to, Calvin Ottertail. Calvin, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
My name is Calvin Ottertail, and I come from the Lac La Croix First Nation community. I work as a spiritual advisor for our area, as well as coming into Minnesota, Wisconsin, and just kind of directing and guiding people in understanding and being part of the protocol of our powwows as we know it. Being an Anishinaabe person, you know, it's a way of life for some of us, most of us, you know, the culture, the background, the powwow and all that. You know, it's a significant gathering for most people. For some, it's a way of life. They tend to follow that throughout the year, you know, going from season. Just like the historical background of our people being a very nomadic people. People still do that today, where they follow the powwow trail throughout the winter as well as the summer. So it's very good learning experience, and there's a lot of teachings that come with that.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the drum, what it means to the Anishinaabe people?
The drum, which represents life in most cases, and along with the drum, like the spirituality, like the dreams, the visions of our people, and what it means to our people, you know, it's, like I said, life. It's a very large part of our culture as Anishinaabe people, meaning that there are several teachings that come with the drum. When one receives a drum, you know, there's teachings that are given to us either by an elder, a residing elder that is there at the time of the passing of that drum to an individual. So when we receive a drum, there are several teachings based on the type of drum it is. It's either a lady's drum or a male drum, depending on the name and where it comes from. So when we have a drum, there's usually a protocol of how we care for that drum. The people that sit at the drum, in a lot of cases, we cannot say that it's my drum. We belong to that drum. As caretakers of that drum, we have a spot where we belong on that drum, either at the north, south, east, or west, or in between those four sticks. And there are seven directions that we pray to. You know, when we light that pipe, a pipe will come with that drum, which is another teaching, you know, the pipe carrier, the woman and the men. There's two pipes usually, and the women, there are usually eight women also that belong to the drum. So it's rather than just handing over a drum, here, use this drum to sing at a powwow, make people happy. It's a big responsibility. You know, there is also a difference in the kind of drum that you have, which we refer to as the difference between the two is a traditional drum, which is more of a based on the story of the spiritual aspect of it, where the drum does not touch the ground. It is hung on four legs. If you look at a traditional drum, it usually has four legs. But if you look at the contemporary side of it, the drum, the contemporary drum as we call it, back in the early 60s, you know, like we used to have a lot of these parade drums that people would use. And these drums were known as the contemporary drums, which, you know, which of course brought a lot of our warriors back from the wars that they attended. So today, when you talk about the drum and the protocol, if there's a deeper understanding or a place of higher learning, as I call it, you know, there is no difference, too much of a difference in the contemporary drum and the traditional drum based on the value, the spiritual guidance, understanding, as well as the message that is carried from the drum. They're both equal in terms of how they provide the tender, loving care that we need when we ask for guidance and healing, like let's say from a traditional drum or a contemporary drum. They'll both provide the same healing power, you know, as well as whatever it is that we ask for.
Well, I heard that some people say that a drum is like a living being because of the spirits in it, of the wood, of the animal that gave its life for that drum. How do you go about to, you know, I know you bring your drum out to the powwow and everything. What do you do, like, when you go home with it? I know you're supposed to treat it as a member of your family, but what do you do with the drum when you bring it home?
Okay, one of the things that we, or at least that I do as a drum keeper, the drum that I carry, you know, has a special place in my home where I put it at the end of every powwow or at the end of every ceremony. It had a little platform, kind of a little coffee table where I made a blanket, where we put a blanket there, cedar, and where the drum sits. You know, when it's not in use, I never wrap it up or I don't put it in a closet. It's got its own space, place even to look out the window. I treat it as if it was another human being, not to be stepped on or just laying around anywhere. And that's the teaching, the protocol around maintaining the maintenance of that drum. It needs to be kept in a place where, you know, it's not being stepped on by other individuals within the home. So it's very much a part of my family, just like my own child. You know, I was treated the same. And in my teachings, when I was given the drum that I carry today, a little over 35 years ago, I was given that drum to carry as a drum carrier, you know, for our young people back home. And ever since then, I've kept the drum. I've maintained the drum as best as I could. And along with that comes the teachings of what comes with that drum. And that is people that you ask to belong to that drum. It's my duty as a drum keeper to make sure those are fulfilled. You know, at the end of my 35 years, it's still not complete, you know. But anyway, that is how I treat the drum that I carry, you know, just as if it was another member of my family, a special place of its own. I feed it 4 times a year, you know, just like we have a general day for the drum. In time, a year is a day for the drum. So that's how we view it when we feed the drum 4 times a year, 4 times we eat in one day. For the normal people, for me, I eat like 6 times a year.
Somebody told me that the drum, can you kind of explain the story of how the drum came to our people?
The drum, as we know it, you know, like the Ojibwe people were very nomadic back in the early historical times. You know, it was at a time. Of course, there are various stories, many stories of how the drum came to be. You know, it was at first we call, again, that's where the different drums come into play here. We have we call it the Bonit Dewi, which is the Sioux drum that was handed to us by our Sioux brothers back in the early historical times. It was a truce that was made at the time where we had given a gift to them of friendship, and they in turn gave us the drum, which is utilized today by our people as a very sacred item. You rarely see this drum being used at powwows. You know, sometimes you will see the blue and the drum, the red. So it's half blue and half red. That's how you know the difference in that drum. You know that it is a sacred Bonit Dewi, as we call it, if you see those two colors. And it's mainly used for ceremonial purposes, for healing, doctoring, and usually used in a lodge. Okay. So when we look at how and where the drum came from, again, like just like the songs that we have, the songs that we use to sing at these gatherings, like the powwow here, there's various songs that we use, that we utilize to make people dance, you know. And then there's special songs that are used for this general use, as I call it, like a general intertribal song versus a healing song. One of the elders that spoke here earlier talked about a song that I used for grand entry, which is also utilized in our sacred sweat lodge. So people receive songs for different, it may be the same song that is to be utilized as a very sacred song to be utilized only in the sweat lodge, whereas another may receive it as a song for an intertribal healing song. So it's based on the individual's how they received it and why they received the song. So it's very crucial, you know, and the word respect comes into play here, where you have to respect, just like the creation story of all the tribes of our people. All creation stories are true based on the story and where it comes from. Okay, the Ojibwe people have Nana Bozo and the creation story of the muskrat. Okay? Whereas the Apache, the Cherokee have their own version, which is another creation story, and believe it to be true.
Can you tell me, I hear things about, I just hear things like, you know, as I go to pause, I hear the many circles around the drum. You know, they say the drum is its own circle, and then there's other things that are followed by other circles, like the singers and the dancers and the community. And could you explain a little bit about that?
The word itself, like circle, when we look at the word, everything seems to relate to the moon, the universe, the sun, the world as we see it. And when we look at that circle of life, as we call it, there is really no beginning, there's no end to that circle. Okay, I'm not saying we walk around in a complete circle with no real place to be at a certain time, but it's a continuing, a revolving circle that we follow, just like the trail that we've been given to follow, the path that we follow. So it's a lot about how we envision life to be as Anishinaabe people. When we look at the circle itself, that's why, like the bustle, if you look at the bustle in the traditional dances, you'll see a circle. It's based on the life and understanding of life as we know it. There's a beginning, but there is no end to that circle. So when once you go into that circle, you're going to find that it's a continuous journey with a never-ending life. It just goes on and on. So that's why we say when we learn, when we begin a journey, there's really no end to our journey. You can never come, hey, I've learned everything in life to learn. That will never end. So the circle is significant to our people, the moon, the stars, the world that we see. So it means a lot, life-giving, and the understanding of the circle itself. It's a sacred circle, as we call it. The lodge, everything is based on that circle.
Okay. All right. Is there anything you'd like to tell people about our way of living that they can help understand us better?
One of the things that I've always shared amongst our people is being able to respect and being able to understand, like the word respect itself. Being able to understand truthfully, like the stories that they share with us. Being able to sit there and listen to the people share their stories, just like the creation story of our people, the Anishinaabe people. And I've talked about that earlier, like being able to understand the fact that all creation stories are true. It's not because we want to, but because it's a proper way of respecting another tribe of people, that we need to understand fully what that story is and what it means to us as people in general. So when we begin to understand what that story means to us, then we realize that there is another side to the story that we grew up with, you know, like the creation story that we believe in is not the only story that's around. There are several other creation stories that are true in a sense that it belongs to another tribe of people, so that when we have a room full of different people that belong to several different tribes or organizations, we need to learn and accept the fact that whatever they share needs to be recognized and understood, so that there's proper respect for the story and making sure that this is understood by everyone. So at the end, it's a win-win situation. Not that it's a competition or anything, but it's also not my creation story is better than yours. That's a way of avoiding those kind of circumstances amongst many people. So when you begin to understand respect, having respect for one another, then friendship, love, and that togetherness becomes more easier to bring together, to bring to a group of people, so that there's a better way of life, better way of living together, and having a more easier time in being able to talk amongst each other. So it's a great tool for when you work with a lot of different people, you know, making sure that they understand the word respect and knowledge and the wisdom that every one of us have.
All right, well, that kind of wraps it up for today. I'd like to thank you, Calvin, for your time and for your wisdom. Yeah. And thanks for sharing.
To me, Rich, and it's, you know, if we were to sit and talk like half a day with two people, it would be the best thing. Yeah. Miigwech, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Miigwech.
Miigwech.
Power of the Songs is produced by KBFT and is supported by funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota.